Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The Lord has commissioned His church to do one thing: to make disciples. We find the church nowadays engaged in all kinds of enterprises, all kinds of activities, and in many instances has nothing to do with making disciples at all. But the Lord has commissioned His church, His body, to focus their energies and their efforts, their time and their talents on one endeavor and one endeavor alone, and that is to make disciples. The word is ethne. We are to make disciples of all ethnics, of all people, of all nations. That's our occupation until He returns. But the question is often asked, what is a disciple? Spyros Zodiates, who is a great Greek scholar of my generation, has stated that a disciple means more in the New Testament than a mere pupil or learner. A disciple is an adherent, a follower, who accepts the instruction given to him and makes it his rule of conduct. Jesus had disciples in the sense that they believed and made His teachings the basis of their conduct. In other words, following Jesus was more than an intellectual enterprise, listening to what He had to say, appreciating the truth that He said. It became a lifestyle. They were so absorbed with who He is, what He taught, what He did, that they followed Him. Discipling and discipleship is more than going to church once in a while, and it's more than reading the Bible every now and again. When Jesus called the 12, they left everything and they followed Him. They went where He went. They learned what He taught. They did what He commanded. He became their leader, their mentor, and they became His followers, His disciples. To be a disciple and to make disciples for Jesus Christ demands that we have certain attitudes. We spoke of them last Sunday. I'll not bore you with going over that again. But I simply want to mention that we need to be available to go where the Holy Spirit leads us, to do what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do, and to do it in a manner in which the Holy Spirit enables us to do it. We must be fat. We must be faithful, available, and teachable. Second, we have to have a spirit of adoration. Worshiping the Lord personally and corporately becomes the priority from which all ministries flow. Ministry without worship is like a car without an engine. It doesn't get you anywhere. Worship becomes the foundation, it becomes the centerpiece, it becomes the roof, it becomes the walls of every ministry that we engage in. Third, we must acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ over who we are and all that we do. Fourth, we must adhere to the Lord in humble obedience. Five, we must appreciate the Lord's presence and power and provision wherever we go and in all that we do. We must have these attitudes. But the practical side of being a disciple and discipling others involves three specific functions, three specific activities. And you find them here in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Those three specific actions are going, baptizing, and teaching. I want to explore each of these briefly with you this morning. And the first that we will address is the matter of going. Now, I want us to understand this morning that Jesus does not command us to go. There is really only one command in the Great Commission, and that is to make disciples. All of the other verbs that you find in this passage are really participles, present active participles, which convey the idea that these things are ongoing. They don't happen just once in a while, but we do them all the time. And the first thing that we are instructed in is the matter of our going. Jesus did not command us to go. He commanded us to make disciples as we go. The proper translation of the word poriuthentes is going, therefore. It is a present active participle. Going, therefore. Discipling and being a disciple is not a program conducted at a certain time in a certain place according to a certain regimen or a certain pattern or a certain plan. Discipling and being discipled is a continual mentoring ministry. It is a continual mentoring ministry. Moses discipled Joshua and Caleb for 38 years as Israel wandered in the Sinai desert. Jesus discipled the 12 for the 3 years of his public ministry as he traveled throughout Palestine, down in Judea, up into Galilee, over into Phoenicia, across into Gadara and other places. He discipled these men. Barnabas discipled Paul. Paul discipled Silas and Timothy and Luke and countless others as they traveled all throughout Asia Minor, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, starting churches, bringing people to faith in the Lord, and discipling them to become mature Christians and leaders in those churches. Peter discipled John Mark, who later wrote the gospel of Mark. Discipleship is a mentoring ministry. It is to be conducted as we go, whenever we go, wherever we go. The second activity in this Great Commission involves baptizing. Now, hear me clearly, in case there's any question in your mind about baptism. Baptism does not save, nor is baptism a dispenser of grace. R.C. Sproul wrote, "Baptism is the sign of our inclusion into the covenant of Jesus Christ. Like circumcision was the sign that a man was included in the Jewish faith, baptism is the sign that a person is included in the covenant of faith in Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." This walking in newness of life simply means that as we have come to faith in Christ, then we follow him as the Lord of our life. So wherever we go, that's our walk in life. Wherever we go, we walk in the newness of that life. We walk in the newness of our discipleship with Jesus. We follow him. We listen to him. We learn from him. We follow his example. We do as he commands. That's the newness of life that Paul talked about. In baptism, we identify with Jesus in his death. Death to self, death to sin, buried with Christ. We are removed from this life insofar as self is concerned, but yet we are raised in Christ Jesus to walk in that newness, to walk in that new life. Baptism tells everyone that we trust Jesus Christ as Savior and that we commit our life to Him as our Lord. We testify that we are living for Him who died and rose again for us. And that's what baptism is really all about. This cross up here on the wall, that was not the cross that Jesus was crucified on, but it is a picture of the cross, an example of the cross that He was crucified on. But the cross is not the point. It is not the focus of who we are as Christians. The cross is a symbol of the sacrificial death that Jesus died so that we might be saved. The cross doesn't save us. It's Christ who saved us. Baptism doesn't save us. It's Christ who saves us. And yet baptism is a picture of that salvation and our identification with the one who died on the cross to save us. The third activity in discipleship is teaching. Didaskontes. Didaskontes is the Greek word which is properly translated to tutor. Do you all know what a tutor is? Some of you have had tutors in school. Some of you were tutors in school. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, he wrote to young Timothy, who was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Paul said, "The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Here you have the tutoring process. Paul tutored Timothy in the faith and in the ministry. And then he left Timothy to minister as the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And he tells Timothy, "Those things that I taught you, you teach those things to others in the church who will be able to minister after you." Paul tutored Timothy in the faith. Timothy tutored others in the faith. But how does this tutoring really take place? Is it different today from what it was in the days of Jesus? I never was a tutor in the educational sense, but I understand that in many instances a tutor is someone who comes alongside you, and if it's a math problem, or if it's an English problem, or if it's a history problem, they come along and they help you deal with those areas that you are not sure about, those areas that you are ignorant about, those areas that you haven't fully grasped yet. They help you to understand the math equation. They help you to understand the historical significance. They help you to understand the parts of speech and how those parts of speech help us to convey the ideas that we want to communicate to other people. That's what a tutor does today. But tutoring in the days of Jesus, and even before the days of Jesus, certainly in the days of the Stoic philosophers, Plato, Socrates, and those guys, was a lot different then than what it is today. In those days, tutoring involved two things. It involved verbal expression, and it involved personal examples. People like Jesus and Paul and Moses and others, they were commissioned, they were called by God to communicate God's truth to other people. But they were also called to model that truth before other people. In other words, they were to speak the truth and they were to live the truth. They were to speak the truth to people, and they were to live that truth before people. It was not just a matter of listen to what I say, it was also a matter of follow my example. Take your Bibles. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's take a look at the Shema. I know I come back to this passage of Scripture again and again and again, but it is one of the more fundamental texts in all of Scripture. Moses is getting ready to die. He is not going to be able to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. But before Israel moves on, while Moses stays back, Moses kind of gives them an overview of all of the things that they have heard him say and seen him do. It's kind of like a summary. This is your life experience with the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at verses 6 through 9. And so Moses gathers the children of Israel together, and he speaks these words to them. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Moses is telling the children of Israel, all right, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, listen to what your responsibility is going to be from here on out. You're going to take the words that I have spoken to you, the words that God gave me and the words that I gave to you, and you're going to teach those commandments to your children. You're going to speak to your children, to your neighbors, to your guests in your home, to those who walk by your home, those who live around your home. You're going to share the Word of God with your household. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we're going to go to the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is basically a fulfillment of what we find in Deuteronomy chapter 6. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. The Apostle Paul has written a second letter to Timothy, encouraging him in the ministry. And he reminds Timothy, because Timothy is discouraged. Timothy is pastoring a church, and Timothy has learned firsthand that pastoring a church is not an easy task. It is demanding on your time, on your energy, on your efforts, on your emotions. Timothy was about to give up. He was about to throw in the towel. He was about ready to quit. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue on in the ministry, no matter how difficult it may be. And he reminds him of a very important matter in verses 14 and 15. But you, he says to Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Who did Timothy learn the Scriptures from? No. His grandmother and his mother. Grandma and mom taught the Scriptures to Timothy. They fulfilled the responsibility that Moses gave to the children of Israel centuries earlier. That moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas should teach their children the Word of God. I did not learn the Word of God from my pastor. When I was growing up, I learned the Word of God from my father and from my mother. They taught me the Scriptures. Parents are to teach their families the Word of God, the ways of God, the work of God. In our homes, we're to reinforce what we learn at the church and through our own personal walk with Jesus. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes patience. It takes sacrifice. It takes discipline. But that's the responsibility that God has given us as followers of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're not only to make model citizens of our children, but we're also to make mature Christians of them. Discipling involves teaching, verbally expressing to other individuals what we have been taught in Christ. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Going, therefore, make disciples of all the peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. We're to verbally express to others what the Lord has expressed to us through our reading of the Word and study of the Word, through the ministry of other individuals in our life, through the pastor's sermons, through the Sunday school teacher's lessons, through all that we have been privy to in the communication of godly men and godly women through conferences and through seminars and through special studies. We are to take these things in. We are to study them. We are to understand them. And we are to communicate them to others. We want to expand our teaching ministry here at the church to include what we call the Winton Bible Institute, through which we want to teach specialized studies in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We want to teach the matters of spiritual giftedness and evangelism and missions and leadership development and ministry training. Now, you may very well say, well, we're doing that already. No, we're not. We're not teaching these things as we should. We want to become more intentional, and we want our study to become more intensified. We want to get down to brass tacks. We want to get to the nitty-gritty. We want to come to terms with what the Scripture tells us we need to be doing, and that is to teach others, the Word of God. And these studies are not going to lead to the traditional diploma or certificate of completion. These studies are going to lead to the second aspect of discipleship, and that is to personally experience ministry. We want to learn from those who are learned in the Scriptures, but we also want to follow the example of those who've been engaged in ministry. We want to hear what they have to say, but we also want to learn from their experiences so that we can grow and develop in our own faith and in our own ministry. In John chapter 13 and verse 15, Jesus said to the disciples, "I have given to you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Paul wrote to the Philippian church in Philippians 3:17, "Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." And then he tells Timothy in 1 Timothy verse 12 of chapter 4, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Jesus said, "Follow my example." Paul said, "Follow my example." Don't just hear what I have to say, but notice the life that I have lived and emulate that. Not only hear what the truth is, but see the truth in action. And that's what we want to do as a church. Our goal in teaching is to experience ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, the apostle Paul wrote, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." Now I know there are those of you who are wondering what your ministry really is. You have not understood, you have not discovered, you have not come to terms with the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit of God has given to you in Christ Jesus. Some of you have been under our teaching ministry for years. Some of you have been under the teaching ministry of other individuals for years. And you know that there is something that you need to be about in the kingdom of God, but you just can't quite put your thumb on it. You can't quite define it. You can't quite understand what it is that God really wants you to do for the rest of your life. We want to change that. We want to be able to help you not only understand biblically, but to also understand experientially what it is that God has called you, equipped you, because He has saved you to do. So, through the Institute, those who study missions will go on mission. And those who study evangelism will lead evangelism teams. Those who study ministry will get involved in ministry, whether it is in preaching or teaching or church planting or ministry team leadership or home Bible study groups or whatever it is. We're going to have a core curriculum for each ministry discipline that the church is called to equip the saints for. We're not going to force you to take any of these classes. We're not going to force you to enroll in this. We're not going to force you to do anything. If you're not led by the Spirit to do it, it ain't going to get done. But if you are led by the Spirit to get involved, we want to help you understand and we want to help you to be trained to do what it is that God wants you to do. Moses discipled Joshua, who then led the children of Israel across the Jordan River and to conquer the promised land. Elijah discipled Elisha, who continued on the prophetic ministry in Israel after Elijah was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. Jesus discipled Peter and James and John and others who became pastors of churches in Jerusalem and in Ephesus and in other places that the New Testament doesn't talk to us about. Their teaching was not an end in itself. Their teaching led to ministry. And we want our teaching here to also lead to ministry. There is one final desire that I have, and that is for spiritual fathers and mothers to disciple spiritual children. And by that I mean for mature Christians to mentor maturing Christians. In Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talked about mature women teaching younger women and mature men teaching younger men the disciplines of morality, self-control, respect, sound faith, love, patience, perseverance, a strong and healthy home life, and so on and so on. There is a great need in our churches today. There is a great need for us to mentor and to be mentored in life and in faith and in ministry. We do not learn this stuff by osmosis. We become what we become because we were taught and we were trained. And in many instances, the teaching has been lacking and the training has been less than sufficient. We want to correct that in this fellowship. So I'm asking that we consider being a Barnabas to us, someone who is more mature in the faith, to come alongside you and to mentor you. Consider being a Barnabas to another individual. Consider being a spiritual father or mother to a new Christian or to a Christian struggling in his or her faith and ministry. Learning from those more mature than we are, teaching those who are on the road to maturity. It can be a one-on-one ministry. It can be a family-to-family ministry. But it needs to happen. It needs to take place. Think of all that you have learned from those who have taught you over the years. And think what a blessing it would be to pass that on to others. I would like the remaining years of my life and my ministry to making this church a center for teaching and for training, for learning and for leading more than we ever have before. But I can't do that without you. And you can't do that without me. And we can't do that without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm asking each and every one of us, where are you going for the rest of your life? And what are you going to be doing in the kingdom of God for the rest of your life? We have one central ministry given to us by Jesus himself, and that is to make disciples of all ethnics, all men and women, boys and girls of every race, creed, and color and culture. That's what we've been given to do, and I want to be doing that when Jesus calls me home. Let's pray. Father, forgive us. Forgive me for not taking more seriously and not being more committed to the ministry of discipling and being discipled. I confess, Father, that I get caught up in other things. Things that distract me, things that detract me from the main purpose for which I have been saved, called, and equipped, and that is to equip others to do the work of ministry. But by your grace, Father, I pray that that is going to change in my life, and I pray it will change in the life of this church as well. We have some great ideas. We have some things, Lord, we believe that have come straight from you through your Holy Spirit. Things that we can put into place here in Winton that will reach people for Jesus and that will help people grow in Christ Jesus to mature faith, who in turn will reach others for Jesus and help them grow to mature faith, who in turn will reach other people for Jesus and help them grow in mature faith. I don't know how it's going to get done. I know that we're going to need your wisdom every step of the way. We're going to need the resources that only you can give us. We're going to need time and patience. We're going to need perseverance. We're going to need wisdom. We're going to need the things that we do not have in order to accomplish the commission that you've given to us. But we're trusting in you to provide us with all of the resources, material, personnel, whatever, to honor you and to fulfill the commission that you've given to us. But in this moment, Father, I ask that you will, through your Holy Spirit, show us. Show each and every one of us our place in this ministry, where we fit in, what contribution we can make. Remind us, as Paul reminded Timothy, of the great spiritual heritage that he had from his grandmother and from his mother. Remind us, as Paul reminded Timothy, of the experiences that he had with Paul as Paul went about preaching the gospel, teaching people about Jesus, starting churches and building churches. Remind us of our spiritual heritage. And then move upon us, Lord, to invest in others so that they may come to know the Jesus that we know and love, that they may come to faith as we came to faith, that they might know the joy of salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the peace that passes all understanding, as we have come to know these things in our life as well. And then, Father, let it be done. Let it be done in my life. Let it be done in our lives. Let it be done in the life of this church. I ask in Jesus' name. Stand with me, if you will. David is going to come and lead us as we sing. As we sing, where are you going for the rest of your life? What are you going to be doing for the rest of your life? Will you continue to be engaged in things that have no eternal value? Are you going to spend the rest of your years going through routines, honoring traditions, keeping up with the Joneses? Or has God called you to a higher purpose in life, to invest in someone else, to take all that he has poured into your life through others and pour that into the lives of others? We have one ministry, and that is to make disciples. Join with us in fulfilling that ministry. Help us honor the Lord in making that ministry count in Winton and in Bellico and in Cressy and in Livingston and Delhi and Merced and Atwater and Snelling and everywhere else in between. We have a great population of people in this area who do not know Jesus. And should death overtake them this very moment, their next conscious awareness will be in hell, separated from God. We can make a difference in that person's life. We can give them the answer to their heart's greatest need, and that is to know Jesus. I invite you to come along with us and help us take Jesus to the far corners of this county and beyond. If you do not know Jesus, I invite you to trust in him today. I invite you to commit your life to him today. I invite you to surrender to Jesus. He died on a cross to save you from the sin that will condemn you to an eternity separated from God in hell. I invite you to trust in the one who gave his life so that you can have life. I invite you to the one who's able to take your life and turn it around and make something great and powerful and wonderful. I invite you to Jesus. I invite you to trust in him. I invite you to commit to him. I invite you to be saved by him even now. And Christian friend, use this time to think about what God wants you to do for the rest of your life. Where God wants you to go for the rest of your life. And when this Holy Spirit makes that clear to you, I invite you to come to the altar. You don't need to come and talk to me about it. Just come to the altar and commit that to Jesus. Commit that calling to Jesus. And let him empower you then to fulfill what it is he's calling you to do. David, come and lead us as we sing. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.